Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, had a late night. Not as late as some of the others here on staff, like Jared Cohen, who was at the ASU game last night. Guys, I don't know what to make out of ASU. I'm not going to sit here today and do this apology. It was the ref's fault. It was the ref's fault. And you can scream all you want about the touchdown call late at the end of the game. But, I mean, when you have as many penalties and mistakes and missed field goals, and you put up 700 yards of offense, you should win. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Jake Plummer is going to be with us for our weekly segment, Jake and Boulder. And yeah, I'm going to do a little bit around ASU with Jake. But I will really, Jake's very passionate about Johnny Manziel. He's always been very passionate about him. And the Cardinals may see Manziel on Sunday. I want to talk to Jake about that. He's also in Boulder. There's been this uproar about keeping Peyton Manning at quarterback or not. And what's Jake's view of that? The marquee game this week, it's a terrific game. You have Denver undefeated. You have Green Bay undefeated. They play each other in Monday Night Football. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll talk to Jake about all that and a little bit about the ASU stuff. And the Tillman jerseys were very cool. As I said yesterday, there's a little bit too much of Pat Tillman that people are making money off of. Last night, though, was not one of those nights. I've had people that have called me that are not legit because there's these scammers. It's like these guys that do knockoff NBA jerseys and all that nonsense. Last night was legit, okay? And it was fun to see every player have Tillman on the backs of their jerseys. But because I'm me, I just kind of wonder what he would think about all this stuff. And I'll talk to Jake about that. That'll be coming up. It is Steve Nash Ring of Honor night tonight in the Valley. And yet there are tickets available. There are tickets on Groupon. As poor as the Suns looked the other night for the season opener, it's a pretty significant game for a bunch of reasons. There will be eyeballs on the Suns tonight. I would assume Fox Sports Arizona would get a terrific number tonight for ratings because Steve Nash is going into the Ring of Honor. So because the team has been off the radar for 5 years, not making the playoffs, this is one of those games where even though it's the end of October, it would be nice if they put together a complete effort and a complete showing after they had a complete nosedive the other night to open the season. And I'm happy Steve is coming back. I am a little befuddled as to why they're doing this so early in the season. You know, the second game for Steve Nash, it's not like the team has even gotten off and running unless he said, hey, you know, I'll do it early in the year, but I'm a Golden State Warriors employee now, which he is. He works for the Golden State Warriors, not for the Phoenix Suns. So we'll talk to, we'll check that out tonight. That's pretty cool. I watched some of the Patriots last night. To see Tom Brady do what he's doing, and if in fact the Patriots go through, are the Patriots cheating, by the way? I'm just curious. Are the Patriots cheating, as many of you would like to surmise? Are the Patriots just a bunch of cheaters? Because his percentage rating, Eric, did you see any of that last night? Or were you all ASU?
No, I did not. I did not watch any of the NFL game. I just saw the highlights, and I knew that game was going to get ugly, and it did. And Tom Brady just wins. That's just the way it goes.
His passing percentage is greater than it was last year when he was cheating, just so we're clear on this.
20 touchdowns and one interception, that's a pretty decent start to the season.
It would be kind of fun to see Goodell handing Brady and Kraft the championship trophy. You know, if they go to San Francisco and if they win the Super Bowl, it would be kind of fun just to see the reaction of, because Brady's playing better. If we were to look at this.
When they go to San Francisco?
When they go to San Francisco.
And win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Cardinals right now. I know everybody's excited about the Cardinals at 5-2, but when you watch the Patriots, it's like there's this completely different level. They're a completely different level than where the Cardinals are. If we're just talking about what's going on here in Arizona. But when I see Brady and I see Belichick, for everybody that hates those two, you know, 50 years from now, when I'm not here because I'm jamming donuts down my throat the day before on the show day, I drop over 50 years from now, they're going to talk about, you should have seen, it's like Casey Stengel, or it's like great coaches from years past. Well, you should have seen Jackie Robinson play. Well, I wasn't around. Well, you should have seen Tom Brady play.
Jim Brown.
Should have seen Jim Brown play. Jim Brown was great. Jim Brown was this, Jim Brown was that. So Brady was great last night. He had four touchdowns. I saw where Mike Tyson endorsed Donald Trump and that this made news in the sports page. So I may work that in. An American Pharoah is on my mind today because American Pharoah will retire after tomorrow's race. And a little bit later, I'm going to talk about an HBO special that I saw on when horses are done and they're put out to stud and how great their lives are. It's
great.
It's like this machine, okay? They get like these 30 horses to show up in the morning and stud farming. They just get up, he mounts up, does his thing, and moves on. It's like a factory. It's not a bad little lifestyle. We aspire for that. So we'll have that a little bit later on the show. Should I get back over to ASU here? Should I wait on this? What do you think?
We're getting close. We're not there yet.
So. We're not there. We're not quite there
yet.
We're
getting there.
All right. Let me do this then. Let me go over to a couple of headlines and I'll circle back on ASU. Diamondbacks lose their third base coach, Andy Green. He's the new manager of the Padres. Could Matt Williams return to the Diamondbacks in the space of a third base coach? They've actually, when you look at what's happened here, they've changed their pitching coach, which was by their own accord, and I think needed to happen, by the way. They lose their third base coach, which shocked some people over in San Diego that he would go over there to be with the Padres and be ready to go as manager. That was a bit of a surprise. I can't see Matt just jumping right back into it here. And I also don't know what Matt Williams' relationship is with Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart. And Matt's one of these guys that we like Matt. We're one of the few, I think, in media-wise that likes Matt and dealing with Matt. I'm fine with crusty guys. I have no problems with that. And personally, I've known him and his wife for a long time. It'd be fine to see him come back. But that's on my mind, too. The college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And if we're going off of resume, body of work, and eyeball test, and top four and all that stuff, there are games that I'll be looking at this weekend. Did you see TCU last night, by the way, speaking of eyeball
test? No, I didn't see it. Who'd they play?
Get out of here. Shut up. You watched TCU last night.
They were on? Oh, I didn't know.
Get out of here. Did they won convincingly?
Convincingly.
Playing West Virginia?
Yes.
All right.
40-10.
So I'm really wound up about ASU today. I don't know what to make out of. It wasn't the Eric. Did you think it was the officials last night?
Sure, that was a small part of the game. That wasn't the biggest part of the game. The officials did not win or lose the game. The coaches and players lost the game.
61-55 in triple overtime. Okay, when you put up 742 yards of offense. If anybody today is saying, well, the refs really have it in for us here at ASU, then that is like the smallest minds thinking possible. Jared was at the game last night, so I've asked Jared to jump in here for a little bit. I think the three of us can pretty much try to wrap our... Was it the referees? Because you were there on the sidelines. Was it their fault?
Last time I checked, the referees don't put on late hits on guys out of bounds and don't punch people after the whistle's been blown to
Smallwood.
Cause 15-yard penalties. Those are the types of plays in the game that extended drives that led to points. If those plays don't happen, maybe we're not in overtime. Zane Gonzalez missed three field goals. One of them was almost as close as an extra point. Did the refs miss the field goal in the first quarter? I don't think so. That 3 points could be the difference
when
in the
they
game.
Were running, when they were running him out on the field, okay, the one towards halftime was the one that's driving me crazy. Like the clock, Eric, did you see this one? The clock is ticking down.
Why would you rush a guy that's already missed two field goals? He's missed two. He has no confidence. Why are you rushing him out onto the field to try to
kick him? But Todd said afterwards there were 7 seconds left, right?
Too much indecision. I mean, that decision needs to be made. When you don't have any timeouts and the clock's running, ASU could have saved themselves 10 or 11 seconds, ran the field goal unit out there.
Their special teams have not been good.
Just give Gonzalez a couple more seconds to...
They're going
to
point out the kickoff returns and all that stuff, but the kicking has been an issue this year. So 3 missed field goals, but one of them I'm not going to put at the feet of Zane Gonzalez.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so let's go back here. There's 23 seconds left in the game. We have some video here that Jared shot last night. Jared was at the game doing his reporting. It's 41-34 ASU with 23 seconds to go. The video of this play is one that I looked at last night when I'm watching it in real time, and I'm like, you have to absolutely be kidding me here.
I mean, Vernon Adams is a magician. He might not be the best quarterback out there, but...
Knock it down!
But this is a heck of a play by his receivers and the play by Vernon Adams just to get it up and get it to one of his playmakers. And this happens with 10 seconds left in the game on fourth down. That's just brutal.
How many times last night did the ASU defense let Adams out of jail? I mean,
lots.
They blitzed on almost every play, and they had a handful of sacks, but they could have easily had double-digit sacks.
Okay, and Berkovici, he had 6 touchdowns on the night. We have some video of him here where this was what we've been looking for all season, I think, if we're talking about Mike Berkovici.
Yeah, and Mike Berkovici, he was a warrior last night. I mean, you know, he's you could tell that he put a lot of pride into wearing the Tillman on the back of his jersey. This run in particular, he was just a man on a mission. He knew no one was going to get in the way of him in the end zone. He had a little juke move
Yeah,
showing off some athleticism. So you got to give him a lot of credit. If you're dogging on him for those interceptions, that's not fair, because he played arguably the best football game.
I'll disagree with you on the second one, though.
The second one's tough.
We'll get to that.
That's all right. Okay.
So here's where the controversy really sets in. And again, is it the ref's fault that they lost? So now we're in double overtime with this next clip. And this is the play where you're right there on the field, and Adams makes, again, a terrific play.
Yeah, he throws the ball and right in a spot where Braylon Addison can catch it. You could see right there the heel is down in the end zone, but the toe is really close to the line. Is it on the line? I don't know. I've never seen this where the refs...
These two guys, did you see it?
Yeah, I felt like I was going to have, like, remember the Monday Night Football Seahawks-Packers game where the officials gave 2 different poses? I thought I was going to see that for a second, but they talked and they both ruled it a touchdown. That was a crazy play. That was a great catch.
I mean, it was a great catch.
Basket like Hank Aaron style.
But I don't know what's worse, guys. The fact that the refs blew the call on the field, or the replay officials, after looking at it for several different angles, blew it themselves. I mean, the replay is pretty obvious when you zoom in. It wasn't a catch. And not to make excuses for ASU, because again, like we talked
about. Bang, bang play, though.
Bang, bang play. But still, you have instant replay for a reason, and last night, clearly, it failed again.
And it's funny, because I know ASU fans don't want to, like, bring U of A into this, but Rich Rod went on a rant about this a week or two ago about how if you're going to have the replay and the reviews, at least let it be consistent. And it hasn't been. And sure enough, now ASU's dealing with this. So maybe ASU and U of A is in agreement on something here, because they've both been on the wrong side of it a couple times.
So you're on the field and you're seeing all this happen and it's unfolding. And now we go into the third overtime. And Oregon goes for 2. They don't get it. So all ASU has to do is get the touchdown and get the 2. And they win in a game that they led many, 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 many times, that they put up 700 and some odd yards on. But instead, they call this play rather than trying to run the football.
Well, before it, they get on the first play of the drive, they get a big play to Tim White to the 3-yard line. And then they pass the ball twice at the 3-yard line. This was the second one that led to the interception that lost it. Puddles is going nuts. The cheerleaders are going nuts.
But the fans are going nuts because why aren't you running the football?
Kalen Ballage and DeMario Richard were absolute monsters in this game.
Both over 100 yards.
That Oregon defense is soft, and they couldn't stop anyone. And you're at the 3-yard line, and you pass the ball twice instead of giving the rock to one of them.
Not to mention Oregon's defense was on the field for over 100 plays at that point.
They were done. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking at everything in a 61-55 loss in triple overtime, and, like, Oregon's not good. So why am I supposed to believe, and I've heard some of this already today, it just showed that we can play with Oregon. Shut up. That's not the point here. It was crazy.
This isn't Oregon football. They didn't have the same look and the same swagger that they normally have.
And I'll be very curious to see which team shows up next week in Pullman. The Sun Devils have been resilient. They bounced back. They beat UCLA on the road. But after what happened at Sun Devil Stadium Thursday night, it's going to be very interesting to see
how they go all
the way up to Pullman, playing a tricky place against a pretty good Washington State team. We'll see what they're made of.
All right, still to come, Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer will be with us. Thanks, guys. Jake Plummer will be with us. We will talk with Jake about ASU, the Tillman stuff, and much, much more. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, I want to talk with Jake Plummer now, who joins us via Skype from his home in Boulder, Colorado, about Manziel and the Browns facing the Cardinals And also Packers Broncos with all the hoopla and just indecision from fans around Peyton Manning. But obviously I have to start with ASU. Did you watch ASU and how it finished last night?
Yeah, I was up, you know, for me this that late of night, I got a snack in order to stay awake. So kept grabbing a new snack and keep awake in my recliner. But it was just a great football game. Two teams that didn't want to lose and, you know, players making plays. And we just came out on the short end. I felt awful for Bercovici to end the game like that on a kind of an indecisive route by like Tim White and a play that, you know, what's going on? I just felt like it would have been nice to see him at least score and then, you know, maybe not get the two-point conversion. But, you know, a hard-fought game by those kids. They played hard. They fought till the very end. You know, you look at all the plays they missed and field goals and some penalty calls, but all in all, they had a chance in the end and just didn't quite pull it out. So my, you know, I feel for them, those kids, but they got to, you know, let this one sink in and get ready for the next one.
What did you think of the Tillman jerseys and the Tillman night?
They looked cool. They looked good. It was odd watching our old, you know, our old unis out there. You know, I love that uni combination. I thought it was great to see Tillman's name on the back of the jerseys. Was awesome. Yeah, I kept getting confused, like every player. Well, that's Tillman. No, that's Kalen Ballage or whoever. It was cool. What a great way to honor Pat. And I think, you know, he, you know, you and I talked about it a little bit. I mean, I don't know what he would think about that, but I think he would love those green combat boots the coaches were wearing. He'd probably just want to have a pair of those.
That's good. Jake Plummer joining us via Skype from his home in Boulder, Colorado. Okay, Cardinals play at Browns. I think it's an interesting spot for the Cardinals coming into the bye. Another trip back east. They've been there three of the last 4 weeks. But I want to focus on Johnny Manziel. You and I have talked about him through the years. You were really big on him coming out of college. What do you make out of his career right now? We don't know if he'll play on Sunday. Probably going to be McCown, but it could be Manziel. What do you make out of his career right now, Jake?
You know, I don't know. I don't think he's in the right spot. If he had the right coach, I think they'd be ready to put him in there and he'd be getting the right coaching and be ready to play. But I think from what it looks like, they're sticking with, you know, McCown, Josh, who I know from being a rookie back in Arizona, who's done a tremendous job. He's a hard-nosed player. He's tough. He fights. But he kind of like Manziel. He takes his shots and his risks. And, you know, they're not winning with him there. So to my idea is, like, you know, put Manziel in there. And then you can justify whether you should, you know, listen to all the naysayers and either get rid of him or cut bait or, you know, let the kid develop. One or the other. But the story behind it just looming always, is Manziel going to play? Are we going to see him? And what about that event with his girlfriend? You know, everything's so blown out of proportion. I think the best thing for Johnny Football is football, to go play. Let him go out and play and get hit and make some mistakes and make some amazing plays and see what he can do, you know. And, you know, he's going to have to learn somehow, some way, regardless of what he does. He's going to get critiqued down to the fine hairs. And, you know, he's going to have to just get thick skin and be ready. But I'd love to see him play.
Yeah, sometimes it's change of scenery. I mean, you know about that. It's just sometimes getting into a different space, maybe in the best interest.
I don't know him well enough to know his daily routine and his life, but I think he knows right now he's put himself in a position that every single move he makes is going to be dissected and you know, analyzed and looked at, and that's tough for a kid. It's got to be real hard for him. I think for him, inside that those painted lines, that football field, that's his sanctuary. So I think, get him out there. Let's see what the kid can do. I think he would dazzle us all with some amazing plays, make the Cleveland fans groan with some bad plays. But you all remember a young quarterback, you're looking at him that used to do the same thing, make some great plays, have some bad ones, but never stop fighting.
That's true. Okay, Packers, Broncos. It's great this late in the season to have two teams that are undefeated. But I'm hearing and reading about the angst or uncertainty from fans about Peyton Manning and what they see on the field. What do you make out of him at this point of the season?
Well, I can say this because I'm not on the current team, but I know the current team can't say it, but they don't care right now what the fans think. They really could care less what fans are saying, because it's hard to say, you know, what fans are the true legitimate fans. The real deal Bronco fans, they're not complaining. They're enjoying watching this team play. Capital T-E-A-M. They are a team. Mm. They're all playing extremely hard. They're playing as a unit, all three units. They're fighting hard for number 18. They want to send him out in style. Now, the fans that are like, you know, wanting fantasy points, wanting to make $50 on FanDuel, they're mad at Peyton Manning and complaining about his play. But I think he's played pretty well, actually. Yeah, he's had some interceptions. They haven't hit the end zone. But you watch some of his throws late in games, because I don't care what happens in the second quarter. Who cares? It's over with. It's if you make plays late in the game. And he's put his team in position a few times by making some amazing throws, throws that I don't know anyone else in the league could make, because he doesn't have the rocket arm, but he has the mind and the ability to anticipate and throw the ball where the guys are going to be. And his players around him can play better. I guarantee you all 10 of those guys on offense, you ask them if they can play better, and they'll say, yes, we can step up our game. If they do that, I think that the critics will quiet down, and hopefully they will, and sit and watch this team. It's a great team. They're playing as a unit, and you're going to miss something special if all you do is critique and be upset they don't score 40 points a game.
Okay, Packers, Broncos, who do you like Sunday night? That is the game of the week.
Lots of emotions, you know. Mr. Bowen's going into the Ring of Fame. All the 97 Super Bowl team alumni will be back. There's going to be hundreds of former players there. I think the energy in that stadium and, you know, what's going to happen, I got to hope the Broncos pull it out, because it's going to be a special night. Regardless of the outcome, it's going to be a special night, but they got their hands full with Green Bay. I just, you know, I know Aaron Rodgers has got to play well, man. This Broncos defense is scary good.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff there, Jake. As always, appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Have a good one.
It's always good to catch up with Jake Plummer. I saw where the Nash thing tonight. The Suns are going to wear some socks, like some special Steve Nash socks, like with his face on them or something. So that's fine. Please win the game. Please play better than getting blown out. That's on my mind today. Eric, did you see the story about the Association of National Olympic Committees awarding the World Beach Games?
No, I did not see that.
They're awarding it to San Diego.
The World Beach
World Games. Beach Games.
Is that like the X Games, just on the beach?
On the beach. September 2017, a budget of $150 million. Now, they don't know what the events are going to be yet for the World Beach Games, but they also are going to work e-gaming into it.
Surprise, surprise.
And you know my stance on e-gaming. There's going to come a point on Sports 360 AZ where we're probably going to have a space for e-gaming here in Arizona. It's... E-gaming, for if you want to laugh all you want at it, but when you look at these professional gamers, and we had fun with ASU's team last year on it.
And E60 did a big takeout on their last episode this week on the best e-gamer in America.
Does he live like in a private resort and he's got people working on him and all that stuff? That's what I've heard on these e-gamers.
I didn't see all of it. I just know that he's just, I don't even remember his name. He's just like the best e-gamer in the country.
Face the plant. But that's what I've heard on these e-gamers. Like, they'll put them up in swanky places and they will take care of them. Let's see. I'm looking at a quote here in San Diego. This is from the Sports Business Journal. If you know surfers, they have a phrase when they're very excited, stoked. And I'm very stoked right now, according to the organizer of the World Beach Games, September of 2017.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be a pretty neat thing to attend.
Well, and growing up there, so...
And they have like a million nice beaches in San Diego, so that
sure,
won't be a problem.
Sure, sure. And so you'd obviously think there'd be surfing, and there would be crew, and you could do... On the beach, we would do Ultimate Frisbee. We would do Capture the Flag. I mean, some games you'd play in a park, but you could play them on the beach. We'd play football on the beach as the waves were breaking. There's Tony Hawk lives in Carlsbad. He's got his own skate park right there. So I got to imagine that there'd be some of that wrapped into this, but this is pretty cool. It's in an interesting time of year, I guess, in San Diego, since they're not going to have a football team after this season.
But
this will give them something
to
do.
You had to.
I had to.
Well, judging by the way they played Sunday, maybe it's time that they move anyway.
Or maybe they already don't have a football team, judging by the way
they don't really have a stadium. I mean, they have a stadium, but they don't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's just more of like a big...
Goodies coming up in about 10 minutes, and it's going to be all that I can do to not turn the whole conversation into Spectre, because the Bond screening is next Tuesday while I'm on the air, and then there's another one Wednesday night that I'm going to, and I'm a Bond guy. I've always been a Bond guy, and I cannot wait for this. I'm not looking forward to Star Wars as much as I'm looking forward to Spectre, and I don't think Bill and I sat at the last one. And he saw Burnt. He wants to talk about Burnt. And that's Bradley Cooper's in that. And Bradley Cooper's turned into like this rock star. Like, if you're going to make a movie now and you want the leading man, it used to be George Clooney. Now it's Bradley Cooper. But I've heard the movie's not that good, so...
Likewise. Yeah, Bradley Cooper can play many different roles. I know he kind of got his breakthrough, many people think, in The Hangover, but he's played all kinds of roles since then, so...
So we're going to talk to... We're going to talk to Bill here in about 5-10 minutes. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So what happens with ASU football now? They play at Washington State next week. Eric, you're not going. I don't see the reason to go up there for many, many reasons now. They have four losses to go to Pullman. I don't see the point. You want to talk me out of it? Do you still see a reason?
Nope, you're the boss. I just do what you tell me.
Your camera would break because that's going to be a five-hour game.
At least.
If I'm Mike Leach, I'm throwing the ball probably 80 times with Luke Falk.
Yeah, and I mean, the Cougars are going to give up some points.
Sure. They don't care.
No, they really don't care.
They don't care.
Their goal is, we're going to score more points than you, even if it's 62-61.
But man, to just see where Todd's program is right now, for Todd Graham to be sitting here with four losses after saying that this is the best team over and over and over. And I'm just during the break, I'm sitting here looking at some of my mail on this and on Twitter. Fans are pissed. They don't know what to think. They're just beside themselves because, the coach said that this was supposed to, be his best team ever, and they have four losses. And they put up 700 yards and couldn't figure out a way to win last night.
And a bowl game is no guarantee.
Well, okay, so let's go to that then.
Okay.
They're 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
Means they've got to win two more.
Yep.
At Washington State right now, I'd say is a loss.
It's a loss.
Okay. Wow, you're just definitive.
Oh,
I was more like, I'd say. You're just flat out.
Again, what we talked about earlier in the show. What will be the mental mindset next week?
No, I think you're onto something.
Getting on a plane.
Obviously.
Going up to the Northwest, hard stadium, wind could be blowing.
Yeah.
Gonna have a big crowd.
I'll buy into all that. But what you're just saying, they've checked out essentially. You're not saying that, but if you're just flat out, they're gonna lose.
And I hope I'm wrong, because I said they didn't have a chance against UCLA, and they completely proved me wrong.
Okay, so they lose at Washington State, then they're home to Washington. Washington, it's one of those teams when you take over a program that's bad, you're gonna get your head kicked in. And then you're gonna lose by a lot, and then you're gonna start losing by a little, and then you're gonna win a few by a little, and then you're gonna win by a lot. That's usually how it works. Okay.
Their offense is below average, but their front seven defensively is really good.
It's really good, and it was really good last year. What, three first round picks? But I think where Washington State is right now is they're gonna lose by a little. The USC game. That was at the height of the Sarkisian debacle, disaster. So I don't know if I can count that. But Washington's coming here. I don't think Washington wins here very much.
No, they don't.
So I'll give ASU that one. It's 5-4. Then they have U of A here. In a couple,
five and five.
You've got them losing to U of A straight up.
No. You said five. Are you saying they're going to lose to Washington State?
I will say that they'll lose, yeah.
Okay, so they'll be 5-5 if they beat Washington.
5-5, which means they've got to figure out how to beat U of A or Cal.
And or Cal. Mm-hmm.
And if they do win one of those, if they get to six, they've got to win two of their last four. What bowl game is going to take them? So I don't think they're going to be in position for San Diego now because they're so far down the ladder in the conference. They have three losses in this conference. They just were at the Sun Bowl. I can't imagine El Paso wanting them back or going back there.
Could they go to the bowl that's up in San Francisco, whatever that bowl is?
The Kraft Fight Hunger, yeah. which changed names to I don't know. Are they going to go back to Vegas where Todd started all this in the press box watching? That's like a bottom-of-the-barrel bowl game. I would be happy if they went to San Antonio, but they're not going to be in a position to go to the Alamo Bowl unless they win out. But, for them to win out means they've got to figure out how to do some things well defensively, which obviously they couldn't do last night. And Oregon, that was not Marcus Mariota last time I checked. That was a guy that is pretty good, pretty darn good, keeping plays alive.
And he had good stats, Brad, and those stats are even a little misleading because Oregon dropped a lot of balls. I mean, they had a couple of wide open touchdowns the guys just completely dropped. I thought Adams pretty much just kept them in the game.
Yeah.
ASU got to him, but he was so elusive. And when he was pressured, not only did he get rid of the ball, but he more often than not put the ball right on the money.
That crowd for the Washington game is not going to be pretty. It too. We should think about that. That's got Pac-12 Network.
11 a.m. The old. Hey, you haven't played in the 11 a.m.
You haven't played
slot.
The 11 a.m. game yet. Come on out.
Because they played Wazoo last year at home at 11.
At 11.
Really
there was nobody there.
They
for
slept
that.
Walked through the first half and then picked it up in the second half. So,
gonna be an interesting month.
It will be.
Because you know, this whole thing about they haven't done much offensively. I don't know. 700 yards. You're gonna blame Mike Norvell? I didn't like the play call at the end of the game, but that's not all on Mike Norvell. That's not where they lost it.
And things aren't much better down in Tucson. I mean, they've got to go play Washington night game. Rich Rod loves those. Then they have to fly home, get home at 3 in the morning, and then go back on the road next week at USC. And it looks like USC may have righted the ship a little bit. And guess what? Another night game. Those are two pretty tough road games.
Good Eat the Movies is next. By the way, your birthday's Sunday, so I'll wish you happy birthday now.
Thank you.
Are you working Sunday?
No.
You working Saturday?
I don't believe so.
Are you working tonight?
No.
Okay, just checking.
It's my birthday weekend, so.
I got you.
I'm making an executive decision as the executive producer.
That's a good
company,
call. So. I'm in agreement with you.
Okay.
You know, 36, right?
36 plus 6.
Yeah. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, time to get a life on the weekend. It's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kunz, chief film critic, AZ Central, Net media critic. Are you going to the Spectre screening? Have you seen Spectre yet?
I have not.
Okay, so there's one Tuesday morning at 10 that I try to get off work, and Eric won't let me. And
I'll be your eyes for the ears for that one.
You and I were at the last one. We actually got moved around from theater to theater, if I remember correctly.
And it lasted about 3 hours, and it started about an hour late.
It was dreadful, and I didn't think it was that good, actually. I mean, the end was okay.
I liked it a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really? I'm going to the one Wednesday night. I've never heard of this place where they're holding it, but I'm going to go, nonetheless. And I'm eagerly anticipating that more than Star Wars. What about you?
Not more than Star Wars, just because Star Wars, I anticipate, will... You know, in the coming month or so, will probably consume my life. So I have to care about it one way or the other. But I have no preconceived notions about it.
Are you going on junkets? Are you going on any junkets for Star Wars?
Not that I know of. That's a good question. Maybe I should try to sell that someplace. It's like really nice.
Come on, tell them you need to go to Denmark, or you know they're going to show it like in Prague or something. Just go get a world trip out of it.
Sadly, newspapers are no longer have a license to print money.
Seriously?
In fact, they seem to no longer have a license to make money.
That's a good line.
The junkets are few and far between.
Can I trademark that? That's good. all right, so let's get into these two movies, and we'll start with Our Band in Crisis, is Crisis, rather. Sandra Bullock is somebody that I just adore. She's the same age as I am. I was in an elevator with her once. And she was in her yoga pants, T-shirt, ponytail, and said hello to me. And I just, to this day, don't know why I didn't chase her out of the elevator and propose. I don't know. Might have been because I was married. But I think she's terrific. Is this movie any good?
She's gone out with far worse people than you. the movie's not that good, but she's really good. And I don't like her that much.
Really?
I thought she was really good in Gravity, and I think she's really good in this, but the movie's not up to her performance. She and Billy Bob Thornton are these sort of political fixers, these James Carville types, and they go down to Bolivia to, it's based on a true story, but there was a documentary of the same name, but the Sandra Bullock role was written for George Clooney, who was a producer on the movie, but he ended up not being able to do it, so she did it. So they rewrote some stuff, but not a lot, I don't think, and then... She's very cynical. She's had kind of a breakdown sort of thing, but this kind of gets her back in the game. But they are all just so cynical about that they believe in nothing except winning. And there is I don't want to give too much away, but you would not be surprised to know that there is this kind of a conversion to, you know, believing in things again and that sort of thing. I didn't buy it, even though I like the two of them together. Billy Bob Thornton, I like. And she's really good in it. She's wounded. She's damaged, and that's always I like those kind of performances better than that one she won the Oscar for, whatever it was. You know, big white woman adopts football player. What was that movie?
Blindside.
The Blindside.
Yeah, Blindside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so get that one out of here. All right, let's move over to Burnt, which is Bradley Cooper. And Bradley Cooper has become like this A-list guy that if you're going to go do a movie and it's not George Clooney, I think even, you know, we're seeing right now in The Martian and how you have the right leading guy in Matt Damon. But Bradley Cooper's beyond that. He's really good. That if he's the guy you want, is this movie any good?
Nah, it's not that great either.
am I right on him, though, or not?
You are. And, you know, there's something I was just thinking about. I saw somebody or heard somebody talking the other day about how Sandra Bullock owes a lot of her career to Julia Roberts for getting a lot of roles that Julia Roberts passed on. Mm-hmm. Or even if she didn't pass on, you know, like if you're thinking of Julia Roberts, but you end up going to Sandra Bullock. I bet Bradley Cooper has a lot of that with George Clooney, because it's a lot of times it's the same. Now, Clooney's a bit older now, so, I mean, it changes it a little bit. But he's, you know, he plays the chef, and he was like the superstar chef in Paris, but he had such a bad drug and alcohol problem, womanizer and all this stuff. He burned all his bridges. Really, everybody hated him. So he goes and he does his penance. He shucks 1 million oysters in Louisiana. Oh. And he ends up going back to London, and he's going to get his third Michelin star, and that's going to make cement him as like this great chef. Except that nobody wants to work with him; and everybody hates him. But one of the things that I did think was fascinating about this movie, and that kind of fascinates me, is in the kitchen how the chef has absolute godlike power. No matter what he asks you to do, if you work for that chef, your answer is yes, chef, and you do it. And that was kind of fascinating. But they make him such a jerk that it's, you know, you kind of tire of it. And again, this, I don't want to give anything away, but if there is a conversion about someone beginning to care about things again, don't be surprised.
Okay, so like Eric's wife is a chef. Is this a foodie movie? Is this a movie that, like...
Oh, yeah, food porn, definitely.
Is it food porn? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the food looks great, and Cooper and Sienna Miller, who are it's not his sous chef, well maybe she is, but she's like sort of an assistant. They both learned to cook and to do this, so there's a lot of, you know, and they built a real kitchen for it. It's not a prop kitchen. Mario Batali and some other celebrity chef were the consultants on it. So the food's really good. And I talked actually to Daniel Brühl for this movie. And he plays the maitre d', and he worked in a great restaurant for a week as a maitre d' to learn how to do that. You know, so I mean, they did the research, they did the work, but the story just isn't there. But I'll say this: you will leave hungry.
There you go. Movies sucked, but let's go get some food. Now, but Bradley Cooper, I used to just see him as Phil in The Hangover. That's what I used to see him, and then I saw American Sniper, and I thought he did a great job in that.
He's a good actor. I mean, he's.
He was in American Hustle, too. You know, that was
American. He was great in American Hustle. He was great in Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy, too, right?
He was.
Yeah.
He was, but he wasn't like Bradley Cooper in a raccoon suit.
No, but you're right. In a raccoon
suit.
You know,
that's what you see showing that today. I was taking my kids to school, and I saw this little boy dressed like a dragon walking down the street. I love this time of year. And my favorite thing is like when you go to the bank or you go to a restaurant or something here at McDonald's, there are signs on the door that say, please do not wear your mask inside.
Yeah, right. Thanks a lot. We're not going to do that. All right. I'll probably text you about Spectre. If it's not good, then I won't go, but I'm planning on it being terrific. So thank you much.
It's the biggest movie between now and Star Wars. You got to go.
All right. See you later.
All right.
It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Eric, are you, so it's a movie about food. Are you going to take your bride?
At some point, if she wants to see it. I mean, I don't, even though Goody didn't give it a great review, if she wants to go see it, it's fine.
Yeah.
My birthday is Sunday and hers is actually tomorrow. So
sweet is this?
Well, I have to play by her rules tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I'm the king of the castle.
Would she ever come in and cook on the football show?
Absolutely.
We should do that. We don't have a deal here, but like at your house, do you have nice appliances? Or
we do. We actually have a presentable kitchen where we could probably shoot
really?
Some video. Yeah.
But we could have it be like, I don't, I'll just say, Carly is just a button cute girl and just a total sweetheart. I don't know what she saw in you, but she's terrific. And I think it'd be fun to have her do some stuff on the show.
She would like that.
But would you?
I'd be fine. I mean, I'd end up cleaning the kitchen before you came over.
Oh, so that's no fun.
It'd be fine. Kill two birds with one stone.
Something on football. So
okay.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.